When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
I used to believe that money was something printed, stored in banks, counted in numbers, and secured by effort. But then one day, an entirely unannounced day, a question emerged in my mind, gently yet powerfully. If money is truly material, why are there people who do so little, yet have more than enough, while others work their entire lives and still struggle? That question didn't need an immediate answer, because it opened a doorway that led me into a higher realm of awareness where I came to understand money is not material, it is energy. And when you truly grasp that money is energy, every outdated definition you once believed begins to collapse. Money doesn't come from the work you do, it comes from who you are when you do it. It doesn't respond to the efforts you showcase on the outside, but to the frequency you silently emit from within. Money doesn't listen to the words you say, but it understands clearly the vibration you're living in. I want you to imagine this. If life is a piece of music, then money is a note that only resonates when you truly harmonize with the melody of abundance. It doesn't chase you. It doesn't hide from you. It is simply seeking someone who knows how to tune in. And if you're here reading these words, then perhaps, just as I once did, you are beginning to remember something ancient that your soul has always known, that prosperity is not a goal to achieve, but a state that has always existed within you. Like a flower doesn't need to learn how to bloom, because blooming is its nature. You don't need to learn how to become wealthy. You only need to remember your inherent nature of abundance. And I want to tell you the first story, a story about Eleanor, a woman who sold herbs in a bustling market long ago. Every morning she would carefully count the coins she earned, believing that wealth was as certain as the metal pieces in her hands. Until one morning, a mysterious traveler appeared and said, "I don't sell anything you can touch, but I sell everything you can imagine." That sentence struck Eleanor's consciousness like lightning. She began to see the coins in her hands no longer as tangible things, but as vessels containing an invisible current of energy. From that day on, her small shop didn't change in physical form, but within her, everything transformed. Her mind no longer fixated on lack, but began to resonate with abundance. And then, without extra effort, more customers came and money flowed in as naturally as water, simply because she no longer lived in the vibration of scarcity. You know, I was once like Harald, a humble mailman with a modest salary. He had nothing you'd call wealth if you looked at his bank account. But in his soul, Harald lived as someone who already had enough. He saw richness in the morning sunlight, in children's laughter, in the soft breeze brushing past as he walked down the street. Then one day he received an unexpected inheritance. But for Harald, it was merely the material manifestation of something he had long felt in his spirit. And those around him noticed Harald didn't change after acquiring money, because he already carried the energy of wealth before the physical arrived. I'm telling you these stories not to urge you to copy their actions, but to remind you of this. Money doesn't respond to effort. Money responds to frequency. It doesn't hear you say, "I need money," but it hears you loud and clear when your heart vibrates with the state of I am ready to receive. That is why the first thing I do every morning is not to check emails or list tasks, but to spend a few minutes in silence, close my eyes, and visualize money, not as paper or digits, but as a stream of golden light flowing toward me, gently, naturally, without force. I don't pull it. I don't chase it. I simply open myself so that it may return. And when you practice this every day, not to perform magic, but to recalibrate your living frequency, you'll begin to sense something miraculous. You'll no longer feel stressed thinking about money. You'll stop shrinking inside every time you spend. You'll no longer envy the wealthy or feel ashamed of your financial state. Instead, you'll feel money coming to you in its own way, in harmony with the universe, because you've aligned yourself with it. I want you to try. Dedicate one morning, just a few minutes, find a quiet space, close your eyes, breathe deeply, and visualize streams of golden light flowing toward you. No doubtful voices, no is this even real questions. Just breathe and feel as if that energy has always been flowing toward you, only waiting for you to open your heart to receive. Hold on to that image in your heart until your entire body feels expansive, like a natural conduit of prosperity, because in truth, you've never lacked anything. You only need to remember this. You are the very place that money wants to come home to. I used to believe that money was a stream flowing from the outside world, a place where people had to fight for it, hold on to it, and control it. But one day, I looked back at myself and realized, money doesn't flow in a straight line. It flows along the curve of belief. It doesn't respond to the hand you extend, but to the energy you emit. It quietly listens to you from within, and only then appears on the outside. And the miracle is, when you become truly silent, you can hear its call, like an ancient wave that has always been waiting for you to remember. Let me tell you the story of a girl named Clara, who once lived in the gentle hills outside a small village. Clara carried a heart full of gratitude, and that very heart became the magic wand that unlocked the flow of prosperity in her life. On a hot summer day, Clara passed by an old well that had been buried under the dust of time. As she gazed deeply into its clear waters, she noticed something strange. Every time her heart was filled with gratitude, the water gushed out powerfully. But the moment a flicker of worry or doubt entered her mind, the stream would pause, dripping hesitantly. That was when Clara realized something no one had ever taught her. Wealth didn't depend on external sources, but on the inner state of her being. I used to live as if the water would only flow when I performed well enough, worked hard enough, calculated carefully enough. But it turns out, wealth is like the water from a well. It flows in response to the signal you send from your emotions, not your logic. When you feel grateful, at ease, trusting, you open a channel and money finds its way to you, like water seeking a gap. But when you're tense, forceful, resistant, you shut that gate, and no matter how many opportunities exist outside, it remains a desert within, just like Walter, a merchant from the valley. He spent his life accumulating, calculating, counting every coin, building invisible walls around his money to protect it. But the more he tried to keep it, the more money slipped through his fingers like water through a clenched fist. In the end, only when he no longer had the strength to count, when illness forced him to lie still and entrust others, did the very thing he feared losing begin to flourish. His business, under the care of people he once didn't trust, began to blossom. The more he let go, the more money returned. I share this not to suggest you relinquish control, but to help you understand. There is a more subtle, deeper kind of control. It is the control over the energy you emit each day. You can hold your financial plans tightly, but if your mind is filled with fear, you are sending a message to the universe that says, I don't believe money will come. And the universe, like a great mirror, does not judge, does not pity. It only reflects exactly what you radiate. It doesn't look at what you wish for. It looks at the belief you truly live with every day. What I've learned is that wealth doesn't require you to do more. It requires you to feel differently. When you view the world through the eyes of someone who is already abundant, you send out a signal of expansion. When you're grateful for a small cup of coffee, a cool breeze, a hug from a loved one, you are already living in the current of prosperity rather than waiting for it to arrive. Take a moment, breathe deeply, and ask yourself, what vibration am I living in? Are you feeling light, peaceful, confident that everything is unfolding in the best possible way? Or are you pushing money away with worry, comparison, and fear? The current of prosperity is always there, like an ancient stream running beneath the surface of awareness. You only need to dig deep enough into yourself to find it. One simple practice I keep every day, and perhaps you might want to try, is to imagine myself standing beside a stream of golden light. I breathe deeply and visualize each inhale as a stream of money, a wave of energy flowing toward me. I don't need to hold on to it. I don't need to ask how much. I simply let it flow through me, like breath, like light, like life, because you are not someone chasing money. You are the river that money longs to flow into. And like all rivers, it only needs one thing, that the current not be blocked by the boulders of doubt, fear, and control. When you release those, you don't have to do anything else. The water will begin to pour. Maybe you've spent many years believing that money comes from effort, but today I invite you to live from a new understanding. Money comes from the depth of alignment, from the emotions you sow each morning, from the openness you embody each day, from the moment you stop asking, how do I get more money, and start asking, am I living in alignment with the frequency of abundance? That is the first step, and it is one of the most important steps. To return to the ancient current, the current that has always been waiting for you, to remember that you no longer need to chase wealth. You only need to become the place it wants to flow into. And when you live that way, not pretending, not forcing positivity, but walking each day with a sense of peace, gratitude, and a natural presence, as if money is already here, already yours, you will witness what some may call a miracle. But I won't call it a miracle. I will simply call it the natural reality of someone living in alignment with their true energy. There's something I want you to listen to very deeply, not with your ears, but with your inner sense. Every thought you nurture daily is not just a fleeting mental activity, but a signal, an invisible electromagnetic field that is being broadcast and attracting exactly what you hold in your mind. Your mind doesn't just think, it emits waves. And those waves are a silent invitation to the universe. This is what I'm ready to receive. So if you feel like you're living in lack, the first thing you need to do isn't to find a second job. It's to take a closer look at what frequency you are transmitting every day. I remember a woman who lived in a small apartment overlooking a park. Dorothy. Every morning she would sit beside her old piano, her fingers no longer as nimble as before, but her heart still played the delicate melodies of a golden era. One day she decided to change, not by trying to do something grand, but by simply starting to say to herself each morning a few simple yet powerful affirmations. I am a magnet for prosperity. Money flows to me naturally. I am worthy of wealth in all forms. At first, those words sounded strange, like a discordant tune that her mind wasn't yet ready to accept. But she didn't stop. She repeated each line, each morning, like an artist practicing a new composition. And then, something extraordinary happened, not from the outside, but from within. The voice inside Dorothy began to believe. And from that point on, her life began to change, not because she gained new skills, but because the frequency she was emitting had completely shifted. You may not notice it, but every thought you repeat is generating a magnetic field. Someone constantly worrying about money is emitting the frequency of, I don't have enough, and the universe, like an honest recorder, doesn't ask whether you truly want scarcity. It simply reflects the exact frequency you've transmitted. Situations of lack, unexpected bills, nameless obstacles. On the other hand, when you think with the feeling of, I am gradually moving toward abundance, that stream of energy begins to rearrange things you never thought possible. I once met a man named Eugene, a grocery store owner in an old marketplace. He constantly repeated things like, there aren't many customers, money is always tight, I don't know how much longer I can keep this up. And unsurprisingly, customers dwindled, bills piled up. It wasn't because Eugene lacked talent, it was because he lived as if every door was already closed and so the universe found no reason to open more. Everything only began to shift when a close friend of Eugene, someone who deeply understood the power of words, advised him to try doing the opposite. Though skeptical, Eugene began changing the words he spoke each day. My ideal customers are finding me. Money is coming from unexpected sources. I am worthy of prosperity. At first, nothing happened. But a few weeks later, something surprising occurred. An investor happened to visit the shop, fell in love with Eugene's specialty product, and decided to invest in expanding the brand. From there, more and more customers arrived, but the most important thing of all was that Eugene had truly changed his internal frequency. I share these stories not to make you think that simply saying a few positive phrases will change everything. No. I'm sharing because I want you to understand. Every word you choose, every thought you hold is broadcasting a vibration. And that very vibration determines your financial life, not your salary or the stock market. Imagine your mind as a signal transmitter. If you're constantly broadcasting lack, scarcity, I have to struggle to get by, you're attracting precisely those experiences. But if you tune your signal to the frequency of possibility, worthiness, and ease, then you begin to draw in things that may seem random, but are in fact the universe's response to your shift. I encourage you to try something simple. Every morning, write down 3 affirmations about money. But don't just write them like a to-do exercise. Write them as if you're generating waves. Say them aloud with conviction, as though you're calling something that already exists back into your life. For example, I allow money to come to me easily. I am a magnet for abundance. I live in the energy of wealth. Say those words the way Dorothy once did, not to convince anyone else, but to reprogram your own frequency. Because in truth, money doesn't know whether you're telling the truth or faking it. It only responds to the emotions you're holding on to. And if you persist in the practice, you'll begin to feel, not from your bank account, but from within, that you are transitioning from someone chasing money to someone broadcasting a signal that attracts it. When your mind changes, your reality begins to bend to match it. When you adjust the magnetic field within, your physical life has no choice but to respond. This isn't superstition, it's a law of energy. And you don't need to understand everything for it to work. You only need to begin tuning your thoughts, like a musician tuning their instrument before a performance. Then you'll see that each aligned vibration brings a new melody to your financial life. There are words we've heard since we were very young, and because we've heard them so often, we mistake them for truth. Money doesn't come easy. Rich people are usually not good people. Our family has never been well off. These phrases don't come from malice. They often come from those we love most, our parents, grandparents, teachers, people who themselves carry invisible wounds passed down through generations. And then, like an unnamed curse, these beliefs are repeated, handed down, and silently preserved until someone in the lineage stands up, stops, and says, enough. I don't know what beliefs about money you're carrying, but I do know one thing. If you've never questioned them, you're probably living inside someone else's belief system. Maybe it's your parents, maybe it's the mindset of an entire community or culture accustomed to the concept of lack, where the mentality of having is already good. Don't dream too big. But not everything that's repeated is true. Some things were only true in the context in which previous generations lived, but are completely false when applied to you, someone living with a different mind and in a different era. I remember Frank, a master shoemaker, dedicated to his craft. Every pair of shoes he made was as beautiful as a work of art. But customers gradually dwindled. Though his skill never diminished, prosperity drifted further away. Every night he would sit alone by the oil lamp, repeating the words passed down by his father. Nothing in this life comes easy. To survive, you have to suffer. He believed those words as surely as he believed in the sun. And that very belief, not the market, not the product, choked his ability to grow. Frank wasn't poor because he lacked talent. He was poor because he carried a financial map that was outdated, written by his ancestors, and never once re-examined. Have you ever noticed how there are beliefs you never chose yet still believe? Money and spirituality can't go together. To help others, you must sacrifice your own good. Good people usually aren't rich. They come as pieces of advice, but behind them lie fear, the shadows of a past wounded by money. Perhaps your grandparents lost everything in a failed investment. Perhaps a relative was taken advantage of because of their kindness. And because they didn't want you to repeat the same pain, they passed on a fear of money disguised under the names of caution, contentment, and don't be greedy. But unless you pause and look deeper, you won't realize that some of these fears are no longer valid in your life. I once had to ask myself a very difficult question. Among all the things I believe about money, which are true and which are the memories of others, that I'm unknowingly carrying, that question left me silent because I realized that most of the limitations I thought were just my personality were really echoes of words that never truly belonged to me. I want you to try something with me. Take a blank sheet of paper and write down 5 common sayings about money you've heard since childhood. Don't judge them, just write them down. Then look at each one as if you're looking at a beloved elder, someone who passed it on not because they were bad, but because they were afraid. And gently ask yourself, is this still true for me? Or is it time to return this belief to the one before me with gratitude, but no longer hold it? Like Ruth, a weaver who lived in a small valley, her family always said, people like us can't have more. And she believed it. Until one autumn morning, watching the leaves float freely in the wind, she asked herself, why can't I live as lightly as these leaves? And in that moment, she stopped repeating the words of others. She began speaking new ones. I can live abundantly and still be humble. I can be wealthy and still be kind. Not long after, a merchant discovered her unique designs and placed a large order. It wasn't luck. It was because Ruth had changed the very root system of her financial beliefs. I share this not so you can blame your parents or feel guilt about the past. On the contrary, I want you to know this. You, through your present awareness, can be the first in your family to step out of the cycle of limiting beliefs. You're not doing this just for yourself. You are healing an entire ancestral stream and opening a new door for the generations to come. Money is not bad. Money is not good. Money is energy, and that energy will amplify whatever you carry in your heart. If you believe you are unworthy, it will amplify your doubt. But if you believe you were born with the right to live abundantly, it will amplify your inner power to the point that the entire universe must rearrange itself to support you. I want you to know. You don't need to carry burdens that aren't yours. Like an old coat that once kept someone warm during a harsh winter but now only suffocates you in the spring, you can take it off, you can lay it down, and you can walk forward, not with resentment but with gratitude, because through the old lessons, you've grown deep enough to create a new path today. So if today you feel ready, I invite you to place your hand over your heart and say these words. I allow myself to be wealthy. I no longer repeat the old beliefs. I create a new chapter where money and kindness, money and spirituality, money and love coexist within me in harmony. Let these words be the new threads that weave the fabric of your life. And then the miracle will come, not from somewhere far away, but from the very energy you've just set free within yourself. There is a principle I believe everyone has heard at some point in their life, whether through a teacher's words, an old book, or simply from observing nature. Whatever stops flowing will die. Water that doesn't circulate becomes stagnant. Air that doesn't move becomes suffocating. And money, like every other form of energy, needs to flow, to be exchanged, to be set in motion in order to remain alive. I call this the sacred law of circulation. I once lived through a period when every dollar I earned came with a fear of loss. I held tight, I cut back, I hesitated to give even a small amount because I thought, what if I lose it? But then I realized, when you hold on to money out of fear, you unconsciously block the flow that allows it to return. You don't become wealthy by hoarding, you become wealthy by circulating, with intention, with trust, and with love. Let me tell you about Raymond, a blacksmith living in a small village. He worked hard, hammering day and night, and money began to pour in. But the more he had, the more he withdrew. He hesitated to help others. He feared being taken advantage of. He counted every coin as if each one were his lifeline. And then something strange happened. The more he kept, the emptier he felt. His chest was full of coins, but his heart was cold. There was no more joy, no more excitement. Eventually, that very emptiness forced Raymond to stop. He began doing what he had never dared to do before, repairing tools for the poor without charging, mentoring the village youth in blacksmithing, opening his forge to new apprentices. And from the moment he started giving without calculation, the money began to return, more, deeper, more meaningful. Customers from neighboring villages, nobles, and places he'd never imagined began to show up. Not because he marketed better, but because his energy had changed from contraction to expansion, from defense to circulation. I'm not saying you should spend recklessly or give indiscriminately. I'm talking about conscious circulation, done with trust and the frequency of love. Like Lillian, a woman who had just lost her husband living in a small home with her last bit of savings. One afternoon, a stranger knocked on her door asking for food, and Lillian, though she only had one loaf of bread left, chose to split it in half, not because she was rich, but because she wanted to live in the energy of trust, that the universe would not abandon an open heart. That night, she received a letter. An aunt from the city had passed and left her a considerable inheritance. You might call it luck. I don't. I call it the natural response of a universe that clearly hears the frequency you emit. There is something I want you to deeply internalize. Giving and receiving are not two separate actions. They are two breaths of the same life cycle. When you give, you create space. And that space is a signal to the universe that you are ready to receive. When you receive, you're storing up energy to be able to give again. And when both actions are performed with the right mindset, not rushed, not calculated, not judged, you enter a miraculous flow I call the river of conscious prosperity. I know people who are very good at giving but are afraid to receive. They believe receiving is selfish, shameful, but you know what? When you refuse to receive, you interrupt this sacred law. You break the current. You're not just rejecting a gift, you're rejecting the energy that wants to flow through you and expand further. There are also those who only know how to receive, but not how to give. They keep taking, keep hoarding, without understanding that energy, when blocked, becomes toxic. Prosperity doesn't come from accumulation, it comes from becoming a channel, like a river that knows how to pass through, to leave behind, and to carry freshness forward. Look to nature and learn. Trees don't keep old leaves when winter comes. Rivers don't hold on to stale water. They constantly renew. The sun doesn't calculate when it shines, and clouds don't hesitate to rain. Everything understands one truth. Energy only lives when it flows. And wealth, at its deepest level, is a manifestation of energy being fully circulated. You can practice this every day. No grand gestures needed. A shared meal. A small donation offered with full presence, a thank you paired with a sincere gaze, and most importantly, giving with trust that it will return, not needing to know when, how, or from where. I want you to remember this. Each time you give with faith and gratitude, you are not losing, you are multiplying. Each time you receive with appreciation, you are not indebted, you are completing a cycle. And when you live this way daily, money doesn't just come to you, it stays, it circulates, and it becomes a natural part of how you exist. And then, at some point, you'll stop thinking of money as a goal. You'll begin to see it like air, always around you, always moving, always returning, as long as you continue to live in openness, circulation, and absolute trust in this sacred law. Like Beatrice, a woman who embroidered near the local market. Every day, she looked at wealthy passers-by with cold, skeptical eyes. They must be doing something shady to have that much money, she muttered in her head. And you know what? Over time, she had fewer customers, fewer orders, less money. Not because she wasn't skilled, but because she was living in a vibration that rejected wealth, so money couldn't stay. You cannot attract what you secretly judge. Just as you can't befriend someone you're constantly suspicious of in your heart, or George, a man who used to believe he could never do well, every morning he'd tell himself, if only I had more money, my life would be different. But then one day while cleaning, George stumbled upon old journal pages filled with negative thoughts about money. Money only brings pain. People with money have no true friends. I'm not good at managing money. Reading his own words, he was stunned. The world hadn't turned against him. He had turned against his own prosperity. The words he had once spoken and thought had silently painted the financial picture he'd been living in for years. You see, money has no emotion. It doesn't hate you. It doesn't favor anyone. Money flows only where the door is opened with matching energy. And the mirror money holds up is not meant to punish you. It is meant to help you see clearly what beliefs you're living with and whether you're ready to change your inner image. If you constantly feel that you have to deserve money in order to receive it, ask yourself, who taught you that? If you struggle to accept a gift, a compliment, or a financial gesture, perhaps deep down you believe that everything must come with a price. But life doesn't function like a debt. It flows like energy. And you don't pay back energy. You simply learn to circulate it with gratitude and trust. I want you to try a small exercise. Very simple. But if done sincerely, it can shift a great deal. Take a piece of paper and write a letter to money. Yes, write to money as if it were a misunderstood friend. Pour out every honest feeling, how you once hated it, feared it would leave, felt ashamed when you didn't have it, felt guilty when you had more than others. Then write a second letter, this time as if money were a dear friend you want to reconcile with. Apologize if needed. Thank it for the times it came, even when you didn't notice. And most importantly, tell it you're ready to welcome a new kind of relationship, sincere, open, and healthy. Because truly, money doesn't change who you are. It amplifies you. If you live in love, money will help you spread love. If you live in fear, money will magnify your fear. So the question isn't, how do I get more money? But rather, who am I when money arrives? And am I willing to become the version of myself that money feels safe to stay with? Money is a mirror, and you are the one shaping the reflection. If you want a life of abundance, respect, and value, start living with those emotions even before your bank account reflects them. Don't wait until money arrives to feel secure. Create the sense of safety first, and money will respond. Don't wait until you have a lot to feel worthy. Live as if you are already enough. Not to pretend, but because it is the natural state you've always deserved to be in. And then, the miracle won't come in the form of a deposit. It will come from the moment you begin to look at yourself differently. No more judgment. No more fear. No more limits. From that moment on, you'll see money not as something outside of you. It will become the most honest expression of your inner journey, a journey that, if you're brave enough to look into, face, and transform, will result in the mirror reflecting something entirely different, not scarcity, but plenty, not fear, but trust, Not passivity, but co-creation. I was once taught that desire is the root of suffering, that if I wanted less, I'd be less disappointed, that if I knew how to be content, I'd find peace. There is some truth in that, because if we desire from a place of lack, of envy or fear, we only deepen the gap between ourselves and what we long for. But there's also a crucial truth that many have forgotten. Desire, when properly understood, is not weakness. It is the soul's signal. It is a sacred compass pointing you toward the true expansion of who you are meant to become. Try to recall the last time you longed for something, not out of lack, but because your heart lit up every time you thought of it. Maybe it was a bright, sunlit home, a meaningful job that created real value, or a financial flow that allowed you to support your family, give to charity, and live more fully. In those moments, what you felt wasn't emptiness, it was life. It was movement. It was a connection to a deeper version of yourself. That kind of desire, when nurtured with stillness and trust, doesn't cause suffering. It brings you to life. And that is the clearest signal that you are opening to the flow of true abundance. I remember Agnes, a mother living in a small house on the edge of town. Every morning, before the sunlight reached her windowsill, she would sit quietly by the window, watching her sleeping children. In her heart lived a simple dream, to give her kids a life of sufficiency, not luxury, not display, just enough. Enough so they could study without worry. Enough for good meals, solid shoes, a childhood not shadowed by scarcity. But right after that dream came a familiar voice. I'm selfish for wanting more. A good mother should know how to settle. And so she folded her dream away like an old cloth and tucked it into a drawer she never dared open. Until one day, she saw her eldest child give up their only glass of milk for the youngest. Something broke open inside her, not because of the milk, but because she knew if she didn't dare to dream differently, this cycle would repeat for another generation. And from that moment, she began to own her dream. No more shame, no more hesitation. She started learning new skills, opened a small bakery at home, and within a year, her family wasn't just stable, they became a source of employment for other mothers in the neighborhood. Not because she got lucky, but because she dared to follow her sacred compass called desire. I share this because I know so many people like you carry beautiful dreams, but have never dared to name them. You fear people will think you're greedy. You fear the pain of disappointment. You fear that if you expect too much, you'll be crushed if you don't get it. But you know what? Nothing hurts more than denying your own true longing. Nothing weakens you more than extinguishing the fire your soul worked so hard to ignite. You don't need to force yourself into fake positivity, but you do need the courage to touch your true desires and let them guide you. Don't dismiss those subtle feelings every time you imagine an inspired future. Don't rush to rationalize everything with, "How would I get that?" Let your heart speak first, because the heart connects to an energy field far greater than any plan. It doesn't calculate, it doesn't fear. It only vibrates when something is real. And when you dare to live with real desire, a desire born from love, not fear, you become a living magnet for the resources you need. It doesn't matter where you start or where you are right now. The universe always finds unexpected pathways to take you where you need to be if you are willing to hold the right emotion. Remember this. Emotion is energy, and energy is money. You don't need to do more, work harder, or strive endlessly. You just need to be more honest with yourself, more open to what you truly want, and live each day as if it is already on its way, not out of force, but with openness and trust. Because in truth, you are not the one chasing money. You are the one money is trying to find. Through the emotions you radiate, through the desires you dare to live with, and if you still carry that flame, then you are never truly poor. You are standing before the door. The only thing left is to open your heart and walk through. There's a paradox I've come to realize after years of living and observing. When true wealth approaches, many people step back. They don't rush toward it. They don't open their arms to receive it. They hesitate, get confused, feel afraid, wondering whether they deserve it, whether it might be a trap, whether they'll be able to hold on to it. And just like that, at the very moment the door opens, they turn away. Not because they don't want it, but because they're not ready to step through a door that leads to a new version of themselves. Did you know that the things you pray for, affirm, and visualize are gradually making their way toward you? But they rarely appear in familiar form. They don't knock and announce, "I am the wealth you've been asking for." They usually arrive disguised as an invitation, an uncertain opportunity, a situation that tests whether you truly believe in yourself. And in that moment, known as the threshold, you only have two choices: step forward or retreat. I still remember a woman named Norma. She had dreamed for years about launching a free reading program for underprivileged children. She wrote up plans, visualized her dream each night. Then one day, a miracle occurred. An organization sent her a letter announcing that she had been granted $50,000, 0 cents, to make her dream a reality. But do you know what happened? She panicked. She thought, "What if I can't do it? What if they made a mistake choosing me? What if I mess it all up?" And so she started to delay, missed the proposal deadline, never replied to the email. And in the end, the opportunity left quietly as if it had never come. I'm telling you this story not to blame Norma. I'm telling it because I know that on some level, we've all been Norma. When something good that exceeds our expectations comes to us, the shadow within us rises. The old voices in our heads start shouting, "Who are you to dream this big? Don't get too full of yourself. You're going to screw it up." And so, even with the opportunity right in front of us, we turn away. Not because it's wrong, but because we're not used to living as someone who deserves it. Crossing the threshold isn't an external act. It's an inner transformation. It's when you no longer need anyone to confirm whether you're worthy. It's when you stop waiting for another sign, another permission slip, another ideal condition. It's when you look into yourself and say, "I am ready." Samuel A. Healer, who used herbs, had lived his whole life with a gift he never dared to fully use. He treated people for free, but always refused any payment because he believed, "I'm not good enough yet." Yet every night he lay awake, dreaming of opening a center to help those who couldn't afford treatment. Then one morning, after a very vivid dream, he looked in the mirror and said to himself, "I am worthy." That day, he accepted payment for the first time. Within 6 months, opportunities poured in from everywhere. Not because he changed his skills, but because he changed his inner frequency. He crossed the threshold, and the universe responded. You need to understand this. The universe does not punish you, nor does it abandon you. It waits for you to step forward. It waits for you to dare to believe you are enough. And when you emit that vibration, the vibration of someone ready to receive, not begging, not avoiding, not shrinking, everything begins to happen. Not out of luck, but because you've become a match for what you once prayed for. I know, the threshold is not easy to cross. It's the place where you feel both close to your dream and terrified of losing it. It's the place where you feel elated but also confused. It's where the old part of you screams to hold you back and the new part whispers, "Go!" But if you cross it, even once, you will no longer see yourself as an outsider, a spectator. You become the one who moves things forward, the one who crosses the line, the one who lives the way they've long dreamed of. So if today something is knocking on your life's door, a new invitation, an unexpected project, an opportunity you never imagined, don't rush to ask, "Am I worthy?" Instead, ask, "Do I have the courage to live as the person I truly want to become?" Because wealth doesn't come to pamper you. It comes to lift you into a new level of existence. And that level requires only one thing: willingness. Not perfection, not absolute certainty. Just your willingness to step forward, willingness to receive, willingness to learn how to live as someone who says, I am no longer the one who only dreams. I am the one who lives in what I once dreamed of. Remember, the threshold only opens to those still enough to recognize it and brave enough to step through. And you, if you've read these final lines, perhaps it is time to stop waiting and begin stepping forward. If you've ever stared at the cold numbers in your bank account, spent sleepless nights wondering how you'll pay the bills this month, or felt like life was tightening its grip around your neck with financial pressure, then I want you to pause for a moment and hear this. Financial hardship is not just a material problem. It is a spiritual lesson. And like every spiritual lesson, if you are awake enough, you can not only survive it, but transform it at the root through your own energy and awareness. I'm not denying reality. I know there are times when we need money to pay bills, raise children, and keep life going. But I also know something deeper. Prolonged scarcity is not because you're not capable. It's because you haven't yet learned how to master the energy that's creating that situation. You may have learned how to make money, but now it's time to learn how to direct your inner energy, the place where all true money flow begins. Imagine your mind as a laboratory where every thought, emotion, and belief is mixing together to create the type of financial fuel you send out into the world each day. When you're afraid, you emit a chaotic energy that clouds every solution. When you feel powerless, you become a frequency that attracts nothing but stagnation. But when you shift your inner state from panic to presence, from fear to trust, from resentment to gratitude, you're performing what I call spiritual alchemy, turning old energy into new momentum, turning disorder into harmony, turning scarcity into flow. Let me tell you about Clyde, a farmer who lost an entire harvest to an unexpected frost. Everyone advised him to sell the land, to give up. But Clyde didn't react. He sat still, gazing at his cracked soil, listening to something deeper than logic. And then, in that stillness, he remembered an ancient herb, a plant that only grows in cold climates. He decided to try it. The following season not only revived his finances, but turned his farm into the region's leading supplier of rare medicinal plants. He didn't escape hardship with strategy. He transformed it with stillness and an inner calm so powerful the universe had no choice but to respond. Spiritual alchemy doesn't come from avoiding hardship, but from facing it with a higher state of being. If you're struggling financially right now, try not to react immediately. Sit down, close your eyes, breathe deeply, and instead of asking, how do I get out of this, ask, what is the lesson here? What frequency am I broadcasting? Am I emotionally tied to something that's feeding this stagnation? That is when true transformation begins. I know some people will say, awareness doesn't pay the bills, and I agree. Awareness isn't a magic wand. But you must understand your current financial reality is the result of the energetic state you've lived in over time. And if you don't change that route, even if you make money today, it will slip away. The miracle doesn't lie in the number. It lies in you becoming someone who can hold it, grow it, and share it with a healthy, stable energy from within. You can begin with a very simple practice I call financial energy transmutation. Every morning, spend 5 minutes doing nothing but sitting upright, hands placed over your heart, and visualize a golden light streaming from the universe into the crown of your head, flowing through your body and filling your lower belly. The energy center associated with financial safety. Breathe deeply and imagine every cell in your body bathing in that light. Then whisper, I do not resist hardship. I listen to it, and I am transforming it into strength. Do not underestimate this practice. It's not just imagination. It's how you retrain your nervous system to believe, I am safe, I am supported, I am not alone. And from that state, your brain begins to detect new opportunities, solutions that were always there but hidden beneath the fog of anxiety. Someone named Elaine once told me that for 3 years she lived in financial struggle despite all her efforts, until one day she stopped and began rewriting her financial story as if what she desired had already happened. She wrote, "I am a source of value. Money comes to me because I carry light. I am supported everywhere I go." At first, it felt like just a journaling game, but gradually her emotions shifted. Then came a new job. New partners found her. Her financial reality changed, but more importantly, she had changed. And that change was the real alchemy. Financial difficulty is not a curse. It's an invitation to pause, to look within, and to remember that you were never powerless. You simply forgot that you have access to a higher frequency, and from that frequency, not only can you solve the present issue, you can rewrite your next chapter with an entirely new state of being. So next time money feels tight, instead of clenching, open. Instead of panicking, breathe. Instead of blaming, ask, am I stuck in an old emotional loop? And instead of searching for a way out through fear, become the way out through the very light you are cultivating inside. For a long time, I believed money was the goal. I thought having money meant reaching the finish line, winning, proving my worth. And when I didn't have enough of it, I felt like a failure. I pushed harder, sacrificed more, gave up so much just to earn that fleeting feeling of being more valuable whenever the bank balance went up. But when the money started coming in, I thought I'd feel relieved, free, at peace. I didn't. Instead, the emptiness grew louder. I didn't understand why. It wasn't until much later that I realized the problem wasn't how much money I had. It was how I viewed the role of money in my life. I had treated it as the destination, when in truth it was only the vehicle. Money is not the goal. Money is the means. It's not the destination. It's the road that helps you reach something deeper, the thing that makes your heart come alive, that nourishes your soul, that turns your life into something whole and meaningful. When you truly understand this, you start to free yourself from the blind race against yourself. You stop asking, how can I have more, and start asking, where do I truly want to go, and how can money serve something bigger than myself? I once met a man named Arthur. He used to count his money obsessively for years. He was afraid of losing it, afraid of not having enough, afraid of what tomorrow might bring. But then his younger sister became seriously ill, and he had to spend all his savings on her medical care. He thought he would fall apart. But unexpectedly, in the moment he used his money for something greater than his own fear, something inside him was released. And just a few weeks later, an old business partner reached out with a new opportunity, one that brought in far more than he had spent, not because he became a better strategist, but because his energy had changed from fear-driven contraction to love-filled expansion. And the universe always favors paths led by the heart. Money is energy, but that energy has no mind of its own. It follows the direction you give it. If you lead with greed, money becomes a burden. If you lead with scarcity, money will never feel enough. But if you lead with a sense of purpose, with gratitude, with a desire to contribute, then money becomes a magical vehicle, graciously sent by the universe as a natural resource. No need to fight for it, no need to prove anything. You only need to be clear. What are you truly here to serve? I once knew a woman named Lena, retired, living simply, spending each day teaching neighborhood children for free. She didn't charge tuition. She didn't do it for money. She did it for the sparkle in a child's eyes when they understood a difficult math problem, for the smile on a parent's face when they saw their child improve. And then, without asking, people in the community began offering her food, helping with expenses. An education center invited her to consult, offering a generous stipend. She never demanded it, but the money came as the universe's way of honoring someone living in alignment with her role. You don't need to live in poverty to be noble, but you also don't need to become rich to prove your worth. True wealth is when you live in alignment with your soul's purpose, and money comes to help you amplify that purpose even more widely. That is why money may come to one person and not stay with another, Because money is loyal to no one. It is loyal to flow. It stays where energy is used to serve something greater than personal possession. I want you to ask yourself something very deep. If money were no longer a concern, if all your material needs were fully met, what would you devote your life to? What would you build? What would you write? Who would you help? And what would make you feel like each day you live is a day you are truly alive? The answer to those questions, that is your true goal. Money is simply the means to help you fulfill that goal more easily, more widely, more sustainably. When you're clear on that sacred purpose, you'll stop fearing that money will leave, because you know that when you live in alignment, money will always find its way back. I don't write this from theory, I write from experience, from the journey of someone who once fell into chaos and slowly learned how to live with intention again. I once chased money and lost myself, but when I returned to what truly mattered, when I wrote, shared, listened, gave without calculation, money returned, not hurriedly, but consistently, gently, and abundantly. So if you're in a season where money is a source of worry, take a step back. Ask yourself, where do I want money to take me? If you're in a season of financial growth, pause for a moment. Ask, is this money helping me live more deeply, or is it pulling me away from what truly matters? And if you're living in abundance, ask, how can this money become a healthy heartbeat in the flow of life, not just a still number in my account? Money, when put in its rightful role, becomes an incredible companion. It helps you care for loved ones, invest in yourself, spread your mission, and live each day more fully. But if you place on it the weight of being the goal, the validation, the savior, you will always feel it's never enough. Because money cannot heal what only your soul can touch. Choose to live in a way where every dollar you touch carries meaning. Let it be a cool stream, not a tightening rope. Use it to expand your value, not patch up inner emptiness. And remember, money is a great servant, but a terrible master. You don't need to chase it. You only need to lead it with the light that lives within you each and every day. We spend so many years searching for resources, for opportunities, for support, for a way out. But perhaps the final thing, and also the very first thing we must remember is this. You are the source, not that job, not that investment, not the boss you admire or the partner you're waiting on. Everything that comes into your life, money, relationships, opportunities, is merely a reflection of something deeper. Your internal frequency. When you shift your frequency, the world shifts with you. When you stand firm as a source, emitting clear energy, the universe has no choice but to respond in harmony. I don't say this as a slogan. I say it as a truth proven by my own life and by the journeys of hundreds of people I've met. People who started from nothing, but carried within them something immeasurable, the belief that there was a source of power inside them, waiting to be awakened, and they dared to live as if that was real. They didn't wait for the world to validate them. They didn't wait for money to arrive before they felt worthy. They lived as if they already were abundance, and that is precisely when the flow began to find them. You are the source because you are the point from which vibration emanates. The energy you wake up with each morning ripples into every word, every action, every decision. If you live with clarity, money will arrive to serve you. If you live in the rhythm of love, relationships will flourish. If you live in a state of gratitude, the universe will give you more to be thankful for. The question isn't, how do I get more? The question is, who am I within this very experience? When you shift from the role of seeker to the role of creator, everything around you begins to align with you instead of you having to chase after it. Remember, the entire journey we've traveled together from the earlier parts, you've learned that money is energy, that desire is a sacred compass, that emotion is the magnetic field that draws money in, that true wealth begins from within, not from outside. And now, I want you to look at yourself, the one who has moved through all those layers of awareness, and realize you are no longer the same person you were at the start. You are not just a reader. You are now emitting a new frequency. And that is when you become the very flow you once prayed to touch. You are the source. And wealth, whether it's money, opportunity, relationships, or peace, is simply how the universe reflects back the inner truth you live every day. You don't need to shout to be heard. The source isn't loud. The source doesn't chase. The source only needs to be steady, clear, unwavering, and loving. And that is enough. The source does not compete. The source attracts. I've witnessed people who live quietly, not flashy, not self-promoting, not begging for attention, but the light within them is so clear that it draws in the right people, the right opportunities, the right flow of money, because they don't say, I need to have this in order to be that. They say, I am, and I radiate that. You don't need to become someone else. You only need to return to your original frequency, the place where you know you are light, you are value, you are the giver, you are the guide. And you know what? When you live as the source, wealth doesn't come just to serve you. It comes to flow through you. You become a vessel. You become a sower. You become the main character in a story that doesn't just change your life, but touches tens, hundreds, thousands of others through your words, through your energy, through the choice to live authentically, through how you work, how you love, how you give. When you have money, remember, money doesn't make you more valuable. It only amplifies the truth you are already living. If you are light, money will spread that light further. If you are unclear, money will magnify the chaos. That is why you must become the light before you become the keeper of resources. I invite you in this very moment to place your hand over your heart and ask, what am I radiating every day? If the answer is fear, gently acknowledge it and shift to a higher state. If the answer is passive expectation, transform it into active creation. If the answer is love, gratitude, readiness, then know this. You are already ready to become the river the universe longs to flow through. Wealth is not the destination. Wealth is the byproduct of someone who has recognized who they truly are and dares to live fully in that truth. And you, if you've come this far with me, you are no longer someone merely learning about money. You are someone beginning to live as the source that creates it. I wish for you to leave this journey with a heart bright enough, a mind quiet enough, and a soul open enough to receive all the goodness life has always been ready to offer you. Stop searching. Stand strong. Radiate. Live as the source. And let the world know true light does not come from outside. It comes from within you every single day.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.